today on Real Radio.
What a beautiful thing, though. These people are waking up. They say, Samuel, pray for us. That's a good thing. And they confess their sins, don't they? We've blown it. And not only that, we've blown it. We've asked for this guy to be our king. Oh, Samuel, pray for us. That's a good thing. That's a beautiful thing.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. We all want to know what God's will is, right? I mean, how many times have we had that discussion with ourselves and other people? And recently here on Real Radio, we discussed just that while examining an earlier chapter, The Will of God in Your Life. Well, now we're going to dig a little deeper and address our response to God's will. It's a look at 1 Samuel chapter 12 and a lesson called, quite simply, Responding to God's Will. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Grandparents tell me that, well, I thought being a parent was great. Being a grandparent is the best thing that God's ever made. I had somebody tell me that on Sunday. Being a grandparent's the best thing God's ever made. And then they go off and telling me how they spoil their grandkids rotten. And when the little junior starts to get an attitude because of his spoiledness, they just turn them right back and send them to mom and dad. Here, you deal with it. Now that I've created this kid, you deal with it. That sounds kind of fun. Why? How can that be fun? Because as you get older, it's truly a wonderful thing to give. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed, you know, that your Christmas list now as you get older is much shorter? And yet I find myself now wanting to spend more money on the gifts that I'm giving because I get a real charge. It's kind of like going to Disneyland. When you're young, Disneyland's a blast. Then when you get a little older, it's all right. And then when you're kind of middle-aged and you don't have kids yet or whatever, it's like, I'm not even going to go. And then all of a sudden you have a child. And the first thing is, let's get him to Disneyland. And the parent has got Mickey Mouse ears on. They've got a video camera stuck in their face, and they're walking into Disneyland backwards. You know what I'm talking about? They're walking in backwards because they got the camera right on little Junior. And they're like, oh man. And the biggest charge for a parent is not Disneyland anymore. It's not the cotton candy. It's watching little Junior's face in Disneyland. It's the biggest charge. And you'll pay anything to see that face. Get all fired up over that. Oh, Daddy, there's Mickey Mouse. And it's like, poor kid, he has no idea that mouse is fake as all get out, but he thinks it's real, and what a cool... You're all charged because they're charged. I think God wants to bless us so much, but you know what? Blessings often, when we acquire them, we begin to personalize them, and then own the blessing, and we forget God. We forget Him. Deuteronomy 32:18 says, for you have forgotten the Lord who fathered you. Deuteronomy 32:18. Psalm 103:2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Ecclesiastes 7:13, consider the work of God. Now, did they literally forget God? Answer, no. They didn't literally forget Him. They didn't wake up one day and no longer think about Him. You know what they did? They did what we did. We never really forget about Him in our memory, but we do forget His nature, His person, His holiness. And what happens is what's revealed in Romans chapter 1, if we're not careful, verse 21. Romans 1:21 says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Nobody forgets God. What happens is we begin to demote God. We don't forget Him. We begin to make Him less than who He is. As we motor away from Him more and more, we don't forget Him. we begin to redefine who he is until a person is backslidden to the point where God and I, we're going to go out tonight and we're going to do these things. That's what you're really doing. Because while you're out doing those things that God says don't do those things, you're very conscious of God, aren't you? But your justification is this. Well, he's, you know, it's okay. Me and God, we're all right. And we begin to delegate and relegate him down to a nothing. He's, and then you'll hear words like this. He's my bud. He's my buddy. God's my pal. It's me and the man upstairs. We're tight. What? You see, you just don't forget God. What happens is your life is blessed, and you begin to look to those things as your fulfillment and your meaning and your status in life. And what happens is we begin to diminish God's meaning in our life. We never forget him. Samuel is saying, he's been dethroned from your hearts. And when he's been dethroned from your hearts, you move out from that place of blessing. And difficulty comes. God loves us, so he sends difficulty. We make him casual, easygoing kind of a God, half blind, nearly deaf. And we forget him. Psalm 106, 19 to 22 says that the children of Israel made a calf in Horeb, and they worshiped the molten image having come out of Egypt. Thus they changed the glory of God into an image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, awesome things in the Red Sea. Verses 10 and 11 teach us that God is not only historically faithful, but he's continuously faithful, even to this very moment. Samuel says, then they cried out to the Lord. He's talking about the children of Israel of old. And said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and served the Baals and the Astaroths, the pagan, sexual, pagan gods, freaky things. But now deliver us from the hand of our foes, those who would seek to defeat us, and we will serve you. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal and Bedan and Jephthah and Samuel and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwelt safely. God's continuously faithful. He's faithful in the past. He's faithful now. He's going to get us through. Notice how God allowed, though, the hardships to come into their lives. Whenever a family, a person, a church, a nation forgets God, God will send hardships. Evil comes upon a people. Why? Try to understand this. This is kind of, I have to do it with my hands because I can't say it with my mouth. God wants to just absolutely bless us if we can handle it. We don't often handle it very well. If we forget him, that's sin. We've still got the blessings, but now we're operating without him. We move out from under this covering, out into the open elements, so to speak. We've got all the goods, we just don't have the giver of the good. We've left them. So God in his goodness, to rather than leave us on that path of destruction, God allows the evil that comes in that kind of an environment. Listen, you guys, it's always, my sister just called me from Oregon. She moved to Oregon. She says, it always rains here. Yes, it does. If you go outside, you're going to get what? Rained on. So you stay inside, stay with God, or if you go outside, you're going to get what? Rained on. Are you with me on that? He wants to bless us, but if we leave the house and it rains on us, we are so funny that way. We get out of his will, and we get out into the rain, and all these hail storms and sun and evil things begin to beat on us, and then we're going, God, it hurts out here. It's really wet, it's really hot, it's really cold, it's really rotten. And God's going, well, won't you come in the house, snowbed? Come in the house where you should have stayed. We get out into the stuff, we're children, are we not children? Why is this happening to me? You've left the house. God will cause, or allow, I should say, the rain to fall on us to get our attention. And then we cry out to Him, and we come running home. This evening I was putting on my shoes, and they have a broadcast live from New York, Rockefeller Center. They're going to illuminate the grand Christmas tree, you know. And the former mayor of New York City, he's standing there, and the reporter's talking to him and stuff, and it's kind of cool. And he gets all done, and she gets ready to pull away from him, and he goes, oh, wait, God bless America. And the reporter kind of like, huh, what? And just starts talking, you know, for NBC News or whatever. And he really meant it. And she like, oh, she didn't get it. You could tell, it just went boink, right off her ear. But he was really loud. It was, God bless America. He wanted to make sure he got that in. His face is kind of hanging halfway out of no, really, it was like this on the screen. It was great. Maybe you saw it. It was super. Well, he never would have said that, chances are. He never would have said that prior to the 9/11 disasters. America has run back to God. Why? What happened? America got out of the house. America was out there running around, goofing off, doing all the things without God. And all of a sudden, God says, I may not be about to cause something that's going to happen. I just know that when you run around without me, things happen. It rains out there, and airplanes fall from the sky and hit buildings. Because this world's insane. It's not my will. It's not the way I think. It's not what I do. But when you go out there without me, you're open to the elements. And those airplanes flew into those buildings, and the nation began to stand up and say, what happened? How could this happen? And what'd they do the next breath? They ran toward God. I thank God that we had a history that taught us to run toward God. What if we wouldn't have had that? Oh, it's horrible to think. Third consideration under this point that we're to be knowing the truth, and the truth is this, that God is desiring to be faithful still. He says, and when you saw that Nahash, now it's current. They knew this story. They lived it. And when you saw that Nahash, king of the Amorites, came against you, you said to me, no, but a king shall reign over us. Samuel's rubbing it in. When the Lord your God was your king, now therefore, he is the king whom you have chosen. In other words, you wanted Saul, you got him. And whom you have desired. And take note, the Lord has set a king over you. Third point, and we'll end with this. Responding to God's will in your life is this, verses 14 to 25, we're to recognize his conditions. He has conditions. And that is number one, he wants us to have an actual relationship with him. Look at verse 14. If you, Samuel says, fear the Lord, and number two, serve him, and three, obey his voice, and four, do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then both you and the king who reigns over you will continue following the Lord your God. However, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers. Wow, God is saying, let's have a relationship. Think about it. Again, I go back to the marriage. Can you imagine a husband and wife? I'm doing the service. I'm standing there, and I now pronounce them to the witnesses. Husband and wife. What if that guy, if I said, now, you know, Bob, you may kiss your bride. What if that guy turned and ran down the steps and kissed some woman sitting in the aisle somewhere? You say, oh, that's ridiculous. That's right, it would be, wouldn't it? That woman would have to stop and say, what did I just say I do too? In fact, I would probably say, wait a minute, we're going to undo that part. Why, it's not right. There's something odd here. This doesn't fit. God is saying, if you know me, then let's have a relationship together. And that relationship means it's going to be actual interaction, relating, being. There'll be obedience. There'll be love, there'll be safety, there'll be excitement, there'll be vision, there's going to be encouragement, there's going to be instruction, all these things that relationships have within them. But we're to be recognizing the conditions. He says, fear, serve, obey, and don't rebel. That's pretty fair, don't you think? I think verses 19 to 21 teach us that he wants us blessed. This is something that just saying it, when I have to feel like I have to apologize because of all the false teaching on TV and radio about this. Isn't it sad? Listen, God wants you blessed. Now you almost expect me to say, God wants you blessed, so drive a Rolls Royce. Huh, you kind of feel that. But the truth is, God wants you blessed. People take things and they just run it to a damnable, heretical angle. The truth is, God wants you blessed. Now, what I would like to do is always say, God, bless us. Bless this family. Bless this person. Bless this church in accordance with your definition. Because you know what? When I pray for you, I don't want to limit God. So I'll say, Lord, bless Calvary Chapel. In fact, we've said this years ago. It's been years since I've said it. But we need to do this. I don't know about you, but whenever you're praying for your meal, you should always pray, Lord, thank you for this meal and how whatever you want to put in there. Don't let me get fat, you know, with this double pizza thing here. And Lord, bless Calvary Chapel. I would love for you to end your prayer every time with that. And bless Calvary Chapel. Leave it at that. Because let him define what that means. Let him define it. I think God wants us blessed. I know he does. Verse 19. And all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord your God that we may not die. For we have added to all of our sins the evil of asking a king for ourselves. Then Samuel said to the people, do not fear. You have done all this wickedness. Yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord. That's a key to blessing, by the way, if you want to be blessed. Serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver you, for they are nothing. Wow. God wants me so blessed. Listen, he wants you, he wants me, he wants us blessable. How can we be blessable? By following the Lord with all of our hearts. You guys, you may not like it, but deal with it. The greatest way to obtain blessing is through obedience. God blesses obedience. It's true. It's true in relationships. If your child, if your teenager is obedient, they get more freedoms. The smartest thing, why won't our kids get this? If our kids would obey us, they would be so happy and so blessed, and we would give them more, wouldn't we, parents? Wouldn't we? But when they blow it, what do? We got to reel in the car. We got to reel in the money. We got to take the phone off the hook. Think about it. If they would just obey, they would have more than they could ever imagine. But the little ding-dongs are just like us. God says, obey and I'll bless you so much the whole world, your neighbors will go, what's with your life? I'm sick of it. You're healthy. You guys are happy. You're praying. You're loving each other. Everybody on the streets got a divorce. You guys didn't. Your kids are flourishing. And what's with you guys? I think God wants that to happen in our lives. I think he wants our neighbors to knock on our door and say, what's with you guys? You make me sick. You're so blessed. He wants us blessable. And the key to that is to obey him. What a beautiful thing, though. These people are waking up. They say, Samuel, pray for us. That's a good thing. And they confess their sins, don't they? We've blown it. And not only have we blown it, we've asked for this guy to be our king. Oh, Samuel, pray for us. That's a good thing. That's a beautiful thing. Verses 22 to 25, and we'll be done here. For the Lord will not forsake his people, For his great name's sake. This is awesome. Listen, you guys. Because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Verse 22 is quite possibly one of the greatest verses in the Bible. Listen to that. For the Lord will not forsake you for his great name's sake. Because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Oh, man. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all of your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king. Is that not awesome? God says, listen, here's the deal. I want, number one, to be a blessing. Why? Because the Lord will not forsake his people. Number one, there's three becauses, technically, in the construction of this in the Hebrew, three of them. God wants to bless because he won't forsake his people. Number two, God wants to bless because of his great name. You're called by his name. He wants to bless you because you're called by his name. Thirdly, he wants to bless because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Golly, really, Lord? Yeah, you, me, you. That's awesome. I don't know where you feel like you fit in. Maybe tonight you feel like you don't fit in anywhere. God says, you fit in here just fine. You fit it right to the hole of his hand. You fit perfectly right in that. It's custom fit. Jesus went to the cross and said, this is how much I love you, this much. Died for you. Died for me. And you fit perfect into that grand scheme. What a loving God we have. He wants to bless us. His will, we need to respond to it. Don't fight it anymore. Just do it. So what is it? Read his letter to you and you'll know it. It's awesome. Isn't he good?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a lesson called Responding to God's Will. It's a look at 1 Samuel chapter 12. And we'll continue with more of this fascinating verse-by-verse journey through this Old Testament book of 1 Samuel on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now get ready to take down our contact information, which we'll have for you in just a minute. But first,
he who blesses Israel is blessed of God.
Beginning in Genesis 12 and throughout Scripture, believers are commanded to be a comfort to God's people.
We are grateful for this evening and the people that you've brought to us, all to stand for the defense of Israel.
Introducing the DVD, Americans for the Defense of Israel, A Night of Solidarity.
We stand together here in America, a nation very unique, like Israel, established by God.
Americans for the Defense of Israel, A Night of Solidarity. Features Pastor Jack and guest speakers like radio talk show host Dennis Prager.
The ignorance of the Bible is so staggering and so frightening.
Congressman Gary Miller.
In order to understand Israel, you have to broaden perspective beyond just being a student of the Bible. It's important to learn the lessons of history.
Yaki Lopez.
We are hopeful that this one, which followed 11 other ceasefires that were broken by Hamas, we are hopeful that this one will last. Because we're a peace-loving nation, we seek peace, and we love peace, and we want peace.
For your gift of any amount to the outreach of Real Radio, you'll get the DVD, Americans for the Defense of Israel, A Night of Solidarity. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and click the button on the right there that says Special Offer. Or call us, our phone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Ask for the DVD by name, Americans for the Defense of Israel, A Night of Solidarity. That's at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.